Come and Welcome to Jesus Christ by John Bunyan. Let us go back to the times of the Old Testament. Number one, Abraham found that in him that made him leave his country for him and become for his sake a pilgrim and stranger in the earth. Genesis 12, Hebrews 11. Number two, Moses found that in him that made him forsake a crown and a kingdom for him too. Number three, David found so much in him that he counted to be in his house one day was better than a thousand. Yea, to be a doorkeeper therein was better in his esteem than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Psalms 84, verse 10. Number four, what did Daniel and the three children find in him to make them run the hazards of the fiery furnace and the den of lions for his sake? Daniel 3, Daniel 6. Let us come down to martyrs. Number one, Stephen found that in him that made him joyful and quietly yield up his life for his name. Acts 7. Number two, Ignatius found that in Christ that made him choose to go through the torments of the devil and hell itself, rather than not to have him. Fox's Acts and Monuments, Volume 1, page 52, Annotation 111, Edition 1632. Number three, what saw Romanus in Christ, capital R-O-M-A-N-U-S, when he said to the raging emperor, who threatened him with fearful torments, "Thy sentence, O emperor, I joyfully embrace, and refuse not to be sacrificed by as cruel torments as thou canst invent." Fox, Volume 1, page 116. Number 4. What saw Menas, capital M-E-N-A-S, the Egyptian, in Christ, when he said under most cruel torments, "There is nothing in my mind that can be compared to the kingdom of heaven. Neither is all the world, if it was weighed in a balance, to be preferred with the price of one soul. Who is able to separate us from the love of Jesus Christ our Lord? And I have learned of my Lord and King not to fear them that kill the body," etc. Page 117. Number 5. What did Eulalia, capital E-U-L-A-L-I-A, see in Christ when she said, as they were pulling her one joint from another, "Behold, O Lord, I will not forget thee"? What a pleasure it is for them, O Christ, that remember thy triumphant victory. Page 121. Number 6. What think you did Agnes see in Christ when rejoicingly she went to meet the soldier that was appointed to be her executioner? "I will willingly," said she, "receive into my paps the length of this sword, and into my breast will draw the force thereof, even to the hilts, that thus I, being married to Christ my spouse, may surmount and escape all the darkness of this world." Page 122. Number 7. What do you think did Julita see in Christ when, at the emperor's telling of her that except she would worship the gods, she should never have protection, laws, judgments, nor life. She replied, farewell life, welcome death. Farewell riches, welcome poverty. All that I have, if it were 1,000 times more, would I rather lose than to speak one wicked and blasphemous word against my Creator. Page 123. Number 8. What did Marcus Arethusius, capital Arethusius, see in Christ, when after his enemies had cut his flesh, anointed it with honey, and hanged him up in a basket for flies and bees to feed on, he would not give to uphold idolatry 1/2 penny to save his life. Page 128. Number 9. What did Constantine see in Christ when he used to kiss the wounds of them that suffered for him? Page 135. Number 10. What need I give thus particular instances of words and smaller actions, when by their lives, their blood, their enduring hunger, sword, fire, pulling asunder, and all torments that the devil and hell could devise, for the love they bear to Christ after they were come to him. What hast thou found in him, sinner? What, come to Christ and find nothing in him? When all things that are worth looking after are in him, or if anything, yet not enough to wean thee from thy sinful delights and fleshly lusts. Away, away, thou art not coming to Jesus Christ. He that has come to Jesus Christ hath found in him that, as I said, that is not to be found anywhere else. As number one, he that is come to Christ hath found God in him, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. And so God is not to be found in heaven and earth besides. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 19 and 20. Number 2. He that is come to Jesus Christ hath found in him a fountain of grace, sufficient not only to pardon sin, but to sanctify the soul and to preserve it from falling in this evil world. Number 3. He that is come to Jesus Christ hath found virtue in him, that virtue that if he does but touch thee with his word, or thou him by faith, life is forthwith conveyed into thy soul. It makes thee wake as one that is waked out of his sleep. It awakes all the powers of the soul. Psalms 30, verses 11 and 12. Canticle 6, verse 12. Number 4. Art thou come to Jesus Christ? Thou hast found glory in him, glory that surmounts and goes beyond. Thou art more glorious than the mountains of prey. Psalms 76, verse 4. Number 5. What shall I say? Thou hast found righteousness in him. Thou hast found rest, peace, delight, heaven, glory, and eternal life. Sinner, be advised. Ask thy heart again, saying, am I come to Jesus Christ? For upon this one question, am I come, or am I not, hangs heaven and hell as to thee. If thou canst say, I am come, and God shall approve that saying, Happy, happy, happy man art thou. But if thou art not come, what can make thee happy? Yea, what can make that man happy that for his not coming to Jesus Christ for life must be damned in hell? Youth third. The third youth, a youth of encouragement. Coming sinner, I have now a word for thee. Be of good comfort. He will in no wise cast out. Of all men, thou art the blessed of the Lord. The Father hath prepared his Son to be a sacrifice for thee, and Jesus Christ thy Lord is gone to prepare a place for thee. John 1, verse 29, Hebrews 10. What shall I say to thee? First, thou comest to a full Christ. Thou canst not want anything for soul or body, for this world or that to come, but it is to be had in or by Jesus Christ. As it is said of the land that the Danites went to possess, so, and with much more truth, it may be said of Christ. He is such an one with whom there is no want of any good thing that is in heaven or earth. A full Christ is thy Christ. Number one, he is full of grace. Grace is sometimes taken for love. Never any loved like Jesus Christ. Jonathan's love went beyond the love of women, but the love of Christ passes knowledge. It is beyond the love of all the earth, of all creatures, even of men and angels. His love prevailed with him to lay aside his glory, to leave the heavenly place, to clothe himself with flesh, to be born in a stable, to be laid in a manger, to live a poor life in the world, to take upon him our sicknesses, infirmities, sins, curse, death, and the wrath that was due to man. And all this he did for a base, undeserving, unthankful people, yea, for a people that was at enmity with him. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Romans 5, verses 6 through 10. Number 2, he is full of truth, full of grace and truth. Truth, that is, faithfulness, in keeping promise, even this of the text, with all other, I will in no wise cast out. John 14, verse 6. Hence it is said that his words be true, and that he is the faithful God that keepeth covenant. And hence it is also that his promises are called truth. Thou wilt fulfill thy truth unto Jacob, and thy mercy unto Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Therefore it is said again, that both himself and words are truth. I am the truth, the scripture of truth. Daniel 10, verse 21. Thy word is truth. John 17, verse 17. 2 Samuel 7, verse 28. Thy law is truth. Psalms 119, verse 142. And my mouth, saith he, shall speak truth. Proverbs 8, verse 7. See also Ecclesiastes 12, verse 10. Isaiah 25, verse 1. Malachi 2, verse 6. Acts 26, verse 25. 2 Timothy 2, verses 12 and 13. Now I say his word is truth, and he is full of truth to fulfill his truth, even to 1,000 generations. Coming, sinner, he will not deceive thee. Come boldly to Jesus Christ. Number 3, he is full of wisdom. He is made unto us of God wisdom. Wisdom to manage the affairs of his church in general, and the affairs of every coming sinner in particular. And upon this account he is said to be head over all things. 1 Corinthians 1, Ephesians 1. Because he manages all things that are in the world by his wisdom, for the good of his church. All men's actions, all Satan's temptations, all God's providences, all crosses and disappointments, all things whatever are under the hand of Christ, who is the wisdom of God. And he ordereth them all for good to his church. And can Christ help it, and be sure he can, nothing shall happen or fall out in the world, but it shall, in despite of all opposition, have a good tendency to his church and people. Number 4. He is full of the Spirit to communicate it to the coming sinner. He hath therefore received it without measure, that he may communicate it to every member of his body, according as every man's measure thereof is allotted him by the Father. Wherefore he saith that he that comes to him, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. John 3, verse 34. Titus 3, verses 5 and 6. Acts 2. John 7, verses 33 through 39. Number 5, he is indeed a storehouse full of all the graces of the Spirit. Of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. John 1, verse 16. Here is more faith, more love, more sincerity, more humility, more of every grace, and of this, even more of this, he giveth to every lowly, humble, penitent, coming sinner. Wherefore, coming soul, thou comest not to a barren wilderness when thou comest to Jesus Christ. Number 6. He is full of bowels and compassion. And they shall feel and find it so that come to him for life. He can bear with thy weaknesses. He can pity thy ignorance. He can be touched with the feeling of thy infirmities. He can affectionately forgive thy transgressions. He can heal thy backslidings and love thee freely. His compassions fail not. And he will not break a bruised reed, nor quench the smoking flax. He can pity them that no eye pities, and be afflicted in all thy afflictions. Matthew 26, verse 41. Hebrews 5, verse 2. Hebrews 2, verse 18. Matthew 9, verse 2, Hosea 14, verse 4, Ezekiel 16, verses 5 and 6, Isaiah 63, verse 9, Psalms 78, verse 38, Psalms 86, verse 15, Psalms 111, verse 4, Psalms 112, verse 4, Lamentations 3, verse 22, Isaiah 42, verse 3. Number 7. Coming soul, the Jesus that thou art coming to is full of might and terribleness for thy advantage. He can suppress all thine enemies. He is the prince of the kings of the earth. He can bow all men's designs for thy help. He can break all snares laid for thee in the way. He can lift thee out of all difficulties wherewith thou mayest be surrounded. He is wise in heart and mighty in power. Every life under heaven is in his hand. Yea, the fallen angels tremble before him. And he will save thy life, coming sinner. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24, Romans 8, verse 28, Matthew 28, verse 18, Revelation 4, Psalms 19, verse 3, Psalms 27, verses 5 and 6, Job 9, verse 4, John 17, verse 2, Matthew 8, verse 29, Luke 8, verse 28, James 2, verse 19. Number 8. Coming, sinner, the Jesus to whom thou art coming is lowly in heart. He despiseth not any. It is not thy outward meanness, nor thy inward weakness. It is not because thou art poor, or base, or deformed, or a fool, that he will despise thee. He hath chosen the foolish, the base, and despised things of this world, to confound the wise and mighty. He will bow his ear to thy stammering prayers. He will pick out the meaning of thy inexpressible groans. He will respect thy weakest offering, if there be in it but thy heart. Matthew 11, verse 20, Luke 14, verse 21, Proverbs 9, verses 4 through 6, Isaiah 38, verses 14 and 15, Canticles 5, verse 15, John 4, verse 27, Mark 12, verses 33 and 34, James 5, verse 11. Now is not this a blessed Christ, coming sinner? Art thou not like to fare well when thou hast embraced him, coming sinner? But second, thou hast yet another advantage by Jesus Christ. Thou art coming to him, for he is not only full, but free. He is not sparing of what he has. He is open-hearted and open-handed. Let me, in a few particulars, show thee this. Number 1. This is evident because he calls thee. He calls upon thee to come unto him, the which he would not do, was he not free to give. Yea, he bids thee, when come, ask, seek, knock. And for thy encouragement adds to every command a promise. Seek, and ye shall find. Ask, and ye shall have. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. If the rich man should say thus to the poor, would not he be reckoned a free-hearted man. I say, should he say to the poor, come to my door, ask at my door, knock at my door, and you shall find and have. Would he not be counted liberal? Why, thus doth Jesus Christ. Mind it, coming sinner. Isaiah 55, verse 3. Psalms 50, verse 15. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 9. Number 2. He doth not only bid thee come, but tells thee, he will heartily do thee good. Yea, he will do it with rejoicing. I will rejoice over them to do them good, with my whole heart and with my whole soul. Jeremiah 32, verse 41. Number 3. It appeareth that he is free because he giveth without twitting. Footnote by George Offer, editor, on the word twitting. Twitting, T-W-I-T-T-I-N-G. Taunting, T-A-U-N-T-I-N-G. Or rebuking. Now back to the reading of Bunyan. He giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. James 1, verse 5. There are some that will not deny to do the poor a pleasure, but they will mix their mercies with so many twits that the persons on whom they bestow their charity shall find but little sweetness in it. But Christ doth not do so, coming sinner. He casteth all thine iniquities behind his back. Isaiah 38, verse 17. Thy sins and iniquities he will remember no more. Hebrews 8, verse 12. Number 4. That Christ is free is manifest by the complaints that he makes against them that will not come to him for mercy. I say he complains, saying, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Matthew 23, verse 37. I say he speaks it by way of complaint. He saith also in another place, but thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. Isaiah 43, verse 22. Coming sinner, see here the willingness of Christ to save. See here how free he is to communicate life and all good things to such as thou art. He complains if thou comest not. He is displeased if thou callest not upon him. Hark, coming sinner, once again, when Jerusalem would not come to him for safeguard, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. But now they are hid from thine eyes. Luke 19, verses 41 and 42. Number 5. Lastly, he is open and free-hearted to do thee good, as is seen by the joy and rejoicing that he manifesteth at the coming home of poor prodigals. He receives the lost sheep with rejoicing, the lost goat with rejoicing. Yea, when the prodigal came home, what joy and mirth, what music and dancing was in his father's house. Luke 15. Third coming sinner, I will add another encouragement for thy help. Number one, God hath prepared a mercy seat, a throne of grace to sit on, that thou mayest come thither to him, and that he may from thence hear thee and receive thee. I will commune with thee, saith he, from above the mercy seat. Exodus 25, verse 22. As who shall say, sinner, when thou comest to me, thou shalt find me upon the mercy seat, where also I am always found of the undone coming sinner. Thither I bring my pardons. There I hear and receive their petitions, and accept them to my favor. Number two, God hath also prepared a golden altar for thee to offer thy prayers and tears upon. A golden altar. It is called a golden altar to show what worth it is of in God's account. For this golden altar is Jesus Christ. This altar sanctifies thy gift and makes thy sacrifice acceptable. This altar then makes thy groans golden groans, thy tears golden tears, and thy prayers golden prayers in the eye of that God thou comest to, coming sinner. Revelation 8, Matthew 23, verse 19, Hebrews 10, verse 10, 1 Peter 2, verse 5. Number 3, God hath strewed all the way from the gate of hell where thou wast to the gate of heaven whither thou art going, with flowers out of his own garden. Behold how the promises, invitations, calls, and encouragements, like lilies, lie round about thee. Take heed that thou dost not tread them underfoot, sinner. With promises did I say, yea, he hath mixed all those with his own name, his son's name, also with the name of mercy, goodness, compassion, love, pity, grace, forgiveness, pardon, and what not, that may encourage the coming sinner. Number 4, he hath also for thy encouragement laid up the names and set forth the sins of those that have been saved. In this book they are fairly written, that thou, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, mightest have hope. Number 1, in this book is recorded Noah's maim, M-A-I-M, and sin, and how God had mercy upon him. Number 2, in this record is fairly written the name of Lot, and the nature of his sin, and how the Lord had mercy upon him. Number 3, in this record thou hast also fairly written the names of Moses, Aaron, Gideon, Samson, David, Solomon, Peter, Paul, with the nature of their sins, and how God had mercy upon them, and all to encourage thee, coming sinner. Fourth, I will add yet another encouragement for the man that is coming to Jesus Christ. Art thou coming? Art thou coming indeed? Why, number one, then this thy coming is by virtue of God's call. Thou art called. Calling goes before coming. Coming is not of works, but of him that calleth. He goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. Mark 3, verse 13. Number 2, art thou coming? This is also by virtue of illumination. God has made thee see, and therefore thou art coming. So long as thou wast darkness, thou lovest darkness, and couldst not abide to come, because thy deeds were evil. But being now illuminated and made to see what and where thou art, and also what and where thy Savior is, now thou art coming to Jesus Christ. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, saith Christ, but my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 16, verse 17. Number 3, art thou coming? This is because God hath inclined thine heart to come. God hath called thee, illuminated thee, and inclined thy heart to come. And therefore thou comest to Jesus Christ. It is God that worketh in thee to will and to come to Jesus Christ. Coming sinner, bless God for that he hath given thee a will to come to Jesus Christ. It is a sign that thou belongest to Jesus Christ, because God has made thee willing to come to him. Psalms 110, verse 3. Bless God for slaying the enmity of thy mind. Had he not done it, thou wouldest as yet have hated thine own salvation. Number 4, art thou coming to Jesus Christ? It is God that giveth thee power. Power to pursue thy will in the matters of thy salvation is the gift of God. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do. Philippians 2, verse 13. Not that God worketh will to come, where he gives no power, but thou shouldest take notice that power is an additional mercy. The church saw that will and power were two things when she cried, "Draw me, we will run after thee." Canticles 1, verse 4. And so did David too when he said, "I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." Psalms 119, verse 32. Will to come and power to pursue thy will is double mercy, coming sinner. Number 5. All thy strange, passionate, sudden rushings forward after Jesus Christ. Coming sinners know what I mean. They also are thy helps from God. Perhaps thou feelest at some times, more than at others, strong stirrings up of heart to fly to Jesus Christ. Now thou hast at this time a sweet and stiff gale of the Spirit of God, filling thy sails with the fresh gales of his good Spirit. And thou ridest at those times as upon the wings of the wind, being carried out beyond thyself, beyond the most of thy prayers, and also above all thy fears and temptations. Number 6. Coming sinner, hast thou not now and then a kiss of the sweet lips of Jesus Christ? I mean some blessed word dropping like a honeycomb upon thy soul to revive thee when thou art in the midst of thy dumps. Number 7. Does not Jesus Christ sometimes give thee a glimpse of himself, though perhaps thou seest him not so long a time as while one may tell 20? Number 8. Hast thou not sometimes, as it were, the very warmth of his wings overshadowing the face of thy soul, that gives thee, as it were, a glow upon thy spirit, as the bright beams of the sun do upon thy body, when it suddenly breaks out of a cloud, though presently all is gone away? Footnote by George Offer, editor, on the word glowed, G-L-O-A-D. A glowed, a warm, eager, passionate gazing, now obsolete. End of George Offer's footnote. In George Offer's 1853 edition, he does not have the preceding footnote, and he has printed the word glow, G-L-O-W, instead of glowed. And the footnote on the word glow here is as follows, by George Offer. All the editions from the fourth in 1689 read glowed, G-L-O-A-D. But the misprints in them are so many that I doubt this word. End of George Offer's footnote in his 1853 edition. Now back to the reading and final conclusion of the article in George Offer's 1857 edition. Well, all these things are the good hand of thy God upon thee. And they are upon thee to constrain, to provoke, and to make thee willing and able to come, coming sinner, that thou mightest in the end be saved. This is the end of John Bunyan's article, Come and Welcome to Jesus Christ. The foregoing reading have been proofed and corrected for exact word-for-word accuracy. The article has not been modernized nor abridged. It is, as it should be, exactly as John Bunyan wrote it and George Offer printed it. Please remember that in the preface to this article, George Offer, editor, states that Bunyan appeals to persecutors on page 277. The section he refers to is under, quote, use fourth, unquote.
This Reformation audio track is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. SWRB makes thousands of classic Reformation resources available, free and for sale, in audio, video, and printed formats. Our many free resources, as well as our complete mail-order catalog, containing thousands of classic and contemporary Puritan and Reform books, tapes, and videos at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, that's E-D-M-O-N-T-O-N, Alberta, abbreviated capital A, capital B, Canada, T6L3T5. You may also request a free printed catalog. And remember that John Calvin, in defending the Reformation's regulative principle of worship, or what is sometimes called the scriptural law of worship, commenting on the words of God, which I commanded them not, neither came into my heart, from his commentary on Jeremiah 7:31, writes, God here cuts off from men every occasion for making evasions, since he condemns by this one phrase, I have not commanded them, whatever the Jews devised. There is then no other argument needed to condemn superstitions than that they are not commanded by God. For when men allow themselves to worship God according to their own fancies, and attend not to his commands, they pervert true religion. And if this principle was adopted by the papists, all those fictitious modes of worship in which they absurdly exercise themselves would fall to the ground. It is indeed a horrible thing for the papists to seek to discharge their duties towards God by performing their own superstitions. There is an immense number of them, as it is well known, and as it manifestly appears. Were they to admit this principle, that we cannot rightly worship God except by obeying his word, they would be delivered from their deep abyss of error. The prophet's words, then, are very important, when he says that God had commanded no such thing, and that it never came to his mind, as though he had said that men assume too much wisdom when they devise what he never required, nay, what he never knew.